You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, my dear.
You're welcome.
I'll come and tuck you in later.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have some things to impart to you, and get your pen and paper right now, because I'm going to give you the prices for the Groom Lake Expedition. I'm also going to tell you that we have to raise our price for subscriptions to Veritas, and if you have not subscribed as of yet, or if your subscription is running out and you wish to renew your subscription, we are going to give you a grace period up until the next printing. When the next printing of Veritas comes out, which will be next week, the old prices will no longer apply. So if you want to renew your subscription to Veritas, or you want to start a subscription to Veritas, you're going to have to do it right now. I'm going to give you the current rates. When the new issue comes out, it will have the new rates in it. If you get your subscription in before the new issue is printed, you will get the new issue. If your subscription does not arrive until after it's printed, these prices will not apply. Your check will be sent back to you with a request for more money, and you won't get that issue unless you pay $5, because that's the way it goes. Okay? So, right now, if you get your money into us immediately, before next week, if it's postmarked before the day we go to press, you can have this issue and the subsequent issues for whatever number of issues you subscribe for these prices. 13 issues. That's 13 issues for $6. 13 issues for $6. 23 issues for $12. That's 23 issues for $12. 30 issues for $18. Oh, excuse me. This is all backwards. I'm sorry, folks. It's backwards. Let me start all over again. Whatever you've written down, forget it. Erase it. And I got to tell you, I did this to wake you up. And if you believe that, I'll sell you a bridge. You've all had time to get a pen and paper. Here's the real prices. If you get them in right now, ladies and gentlemen, you get six issues for $13. Six issues for $13. Are you all listening? 12 issues for $23. That's 12 issues for $23. These are at the existing prices. If your letter is postmarked on or before the date we go to press, you get these prices, and you will get the current issue. If your letter is postmarked after the date we go to press, you will not get the current issue, and your money will be returned with a request to make up for the increase in price. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the increase in price is. Just let me tell you this. You're making a savings with these prices. Six issues, $13. Send it to us now. 12 issues, $23. 12 issues, $23. 18 issues, $30. That's 18 issues is $30. 24 issues is $35. That's 24 issues is $35. Send it. Make all checks or money orders payable to Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T. That's H-A-R-V-E-S-T. That's V as in Victor. H-A-R-V as in Victor, E-S-T. And any checks that you make out for the Groom Lake Expedition also go to Harvest. Make checker money order payable to Harvest. H-A-R-V as in Victor, E-S-T. And send them to, and I'm going to give you the rates for the Groom Lake outing in just a second. Write down this address. Send them to Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T. If you're applying for a subscription to Veritas, make it in care of Harvest. Veritas, in care of Harvest, P.O. Box 1970. That's P.O. Box 1970, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's Veritas, in care of Harvest, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Now, here are the rates for the Groom Lake Expedition. We expect everybody to arrive on the 4th of July. That's when the four-day holiday begins. So you can leave the night of the 3rd, arrive on the morning of the 4th. You're going to either have to drive or fly or ride with somebody else. I don't care how you get there. It's up to you. If you fly into Las Vegas, you'll need to rent an automobile. The moment that we get your payment, we will send you a map and instructions how to reach the Little Alien in the town of Rachel, Nevada. If you're driving, the moment we get your payment, we will send you a map and just exactly how to get there from Las Vegas. So, here are the prices. The quicker you get the prices, the money to us, the quicker we can get you the information how to get there. And ladies and gentlemen, we can only take 17 people to fill beds, whether it's singles or doubles, doesn't make any difference. And we may have to split up doubles or couples or whatever if you really want room and board. If not, you can camp out. So here are the prices. You make up your mind. Whoever gets their money into us first gets first dibs. Okay? Couples. This is the price per couple, room and board. Price per couple, room and board, all lectures, all field trips, $355. You pay for transportation to and from Rachel, Nevada. Once you get there, if you're one of the ones who get your money in first, you will have room and board and all lectures and field trips paid for $355. Singles. If you are a single person, room and board, all lectures and all field trips, $210. That's singles with room and board, $210. If you don't want a room, but you want meals, in other words, you're willing to come and camp out, camping out is free, no charge. If you want to camp out or bring your RV or camper or whatever you want to do, a sleeping bag or tent or whatever, a single person, this is for a single person, camping out with all meals paid, all lectures and all field trips, $145. That's a single person camping out, all meals paid, all lectures, all field trips, $145. A couple, that's a couple, camping out with meals. That's a couple camping out with meals, all lectures, all field trips paid for, $290. That's $290, couple camping out with meals, All lectures and field trips paid for. A single camping out, no meals. You come up there by yourself, you camp out, you don't expect any meals, and you're not going to get any meals if you don't pay for them, $100. A couple, no meals, camping out, $200. That's a couple, no meals, camping out, $200. All lectures and field trips. Okay, folks, that's it. Now, I want you to pay specific attention to what you're going to hear tonight. You're going to hear a tremendously dynamic speech. The speaker is Carl D. Haggard. The speech was given at Bourne, Texas, on October the 22nd, 1994. This tape was produced by the Committee for the Bill of Rights. He is an outstanding personality and is extremely important to the militias of America. And that's about all I can say. It's taken me quite a long time to be able to get permission from my superiors, as well as the people who produced the tape, to air this tape. You need to hear every word of it. Don't even miss a single second. It is extremely important that you hear it and understand it.
Gregorian chant, a Latin hymn. The words say, Haec dies quam fecit Domino, exultemus et latemur in ea. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want to thank Patsy Lee and Nancy McDonald and the Pioneers for Truth in Hostile Territory for inviting me here today to deliver this message to you. I also want to extend a special thanks to Stephen Brown and his wife Carol and their 11 children for having me last night. I felt like one of the family. I especially want to thank each and every one of you for coming here today to stand up for your freedom. While at the University of Houston, I studied and majored in the subject of history. We should all study history more. I fear that the lessons of history are oft forgotten. History is a river that flows from God. There are the streams and the tributaries of events that God wills or permits to happen. There is the main body of the river of life flowing into the endless sea of time. Let us go upstream and examine some of these waters and where they have originated. Our Bill of Rights are the headwaters of our freedom, and from it springs forth the fountain of our liberty. But the Bill of Rights was originally suppressed by the One World Order Federalists who controlled the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. They were out to create a strong central government at the expense of the individual states and of individual freedom. But without any guarantee of individual liberties or fundamental rights, the Constitution, not the Bill of Rights, the Constitution is merely a form of government. Our form of government is good. It is sound. And I do love our Constitution. But when we say as a people, we love our freedoms and we love our Constitution, the freedoms are not found in the first three articles. We are talking about the Bill of Rights. In 1787, they met in secret in Philadelphia. Patrick Henry refused to go. He said, there's nothing broken. The Articles of Federation are fine. And he said, quote, I smell a rat, and he refused to go. Those same patriots who fought for our freedoms in 1776 were now out to grab power and as much as they could. They wanted to erase state lines. but all of the free and independent states were not controlled by the big government tax and spend one world order federalist. Like, for instance, Rhode Island and North Carolina. There was going to be, as RoboCop so eloquently put it, trouble. Three great American patriots had already walked out on the convention. They refused to sign the Constitution because of its failure to guarantee and protect individual civil liberties. Let's recall their names, Colonel George Mason and Governor Edmund Randolph, both of Virginia, and Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts. In fact, Rhode Island voted no and rejected the Constitution by a vote of 2,711 to 239. That's a landslide. North Carolina refused to ratify the Constitution, and the stage was set. Would there be another American Revolution or a first war between the states? This was high drama indeed. Well, the Federalists had to rethink their position. You see, there were still some right-wing, reactionary, revolutionaries still operating out there who were just crazy enough and perhaps strong enough to fight and die for the same principles which so many other Americans had just spilt their blood fighting the British for liberty. There were some hyper-technical individuals who objected to the Constitution because they feared that a strong central government would soon trample on the rights of the people. And the Bill of Rights, this is historical, the Bill of Rights became part of the Constitution after it was imposed on the Federalists on December 15, 1791. That's 5 years. It was a historic 5-year battle. And we have North Carolina, and believe it or not, Rhode Island, to thank for holding out for a Bill of Rights. So you see from history, there has always been conflict between the one world order Federalists and freedom-loving Americans. But as I traveled to be with you here today, my thoughts were on those brave Texans who spilt their blood not far from here in a little Catholic church called the Alamo. You know, Mexican General Santa Anna probably called them cultists. They were purchasing time with their bodies, time for General Sam Houston. And the words, "Remember the Alamo," were a rallying cry. They were a rallying cry for victory at San Jacinto on April 21st, 1836. But it is said that we must learn from history, or we are doomed to repeat it. I have been studying on what happened in Waco, Texas, of late. The similarities between the Alamo and between Waco are striking. The attack on Al Wright. The attack on our right to keep and bear arms was a major part of the attack on the defenders of the Alamo and the Branch Davidians. Let us compare Waco and the Alamo. In the early spring of 1836, Mexican federal troops assaulted a small band of 187 souls held up in that church compound in San Antonio. A year before the Alamo, General Santa Anna had sent his brother-in-law, General Cox. He sent him to the little town of Gonzales on the banks of the Guadalupe River. General Cox was sent to reclaim a cannon that the Mexicans had lost to the Texans previously in the year before. And General Cox sent a message forward to the defenders at Gonzales. They basically said, "Surrender your illegally held cannon or we will attack you." Well, the Texans in Gonzales fashioned a flag with the image of that cannon and the words, "Come and take it." Well, they were unsuccessful. However, the Mexican federal troops who were defeated were released mercifully by the Texans with a promise never to come back to Texas. Well, they did come back in force, didn't they? Now I'm talking about the federal Mexican troops now, not the BATF and the Army. But they came back with reinforcements. And do you know that the only reinforcements that the people at the Alamo received were 32 men martyrs from that little town of Gonzales. I will remind you from history that the first shots in our first war for independence were fired at Lexington and Concord on 19th day of April, 1775. British soldiers, as Mr. Pratt was just pointing out, were coming to capture a storehouse to put the British dead with illegally held cannon, powders, and weapons. You know that on the same day, April 19th, 1993, Reno, Clinton, and Lord Benson burned the Branch Davidians or caused them to be burned. I don't know if they burned them or if they caused them to be burned. I do not care. They caused it to happen. Those people were bothering no one. Some say that it was... Some say that it was an accident, or they burned themselves. I don't care. They caused it to happen. And then they raised their flag as the act of a conqueror over the dead bodies of those children. I realized when I saw that compound burning, I realized that the Waco massacre was the act of a government out of control and devoid of moral fiber. It was the act of a totalitarian fascist regime, and it was genocide. Our forefathers knew well the truth of the axiom that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We also know, and it's been observed from history, that we do not win every battle just because right is on our side. That is a lesson sadly learned by the defenders of the Alamo and the defenders at Mount Carmel. But you see from history and throughout history, that is that river that flows from God, that there are distant and timely today sinister forces of evil attempting to enslave both our forefathers and now us by taking away our God-given right to keep and bear arms. And thereby, and this is the thing that's hard to discuss, our ability, by force if necessary, to oppose those same sinister forces of evil. Now, what is the evil of which I speak, against which we must be prepared to defend? After all, the modern-day Federalists tell us that they are grabbing our guns to protect us from evil criminals who might misuse them. We know the fallacy of that argument. Throughout history, these same evil forces have grabbed guns in the name of peace and safety and have sought to disarm law-abiding citizens in the sacred name of crime control and security. What you usually get is totalitarianism. So I ask you to speak loudly so the One World Order Federalists can hear you. Do you believe that they want to control crime by grabbing our guns? Do you believe that crime control has anything to do with grabbing our guns? I submit to you the simple proposition that whom they really seek to control is us. And they will, you know, try. It is inevitable. It is inevitable that they will. And as the night follows the day, some will, by force of arms, oppose them. I don't know when, and I don't know where it may begin. As for me, I went to Washington, D.C. I stood at the wall, the Vietnam Veterans' Walls, and the statue. I visited Arlington Cemetery. The cemetery is vast. The wall is humbling. They are full of fallen soldiers who have fought for our freedom, and no one wants war. Anyone that has been there knows that war is hell. But servitude is worse. And I feel the tide of war is washing in upon us. It appears we may again have to fight for our liberty. It has come down, finally, to us, this generation. And it is our solemn responsibility to preserve our freedoms for our children. As for me, I hold my loved ones close to me as I see what seems to be the daily loss of our liberty. Patrick Henry said it the best. He said, as for me, give me liberty or give me death. content to sit back and wait for the black-suited soldiers of death to show up at their front door with their automatic weapons, then on confiscation of citizens' firearms, and the next step of their pernicious program to disarm us. In every country that it has been done, registration inevitably has led to confiscation. They've got to lock them down before they can pick them up. They aren't protecting us, they say, from ourselves, and they are doing good. I will remind them of the words of Tennyson. Tennyson said, "Oh, yet we trust that somehow good will be the final goal of ill." People bought the Federalist propaganda that they were doing good in Waco. We sat back and watched it night after night on the television, watched it on CNN, as they terrorized the children with the amplified, ear-shattering noises and the rumble of tanks rolling round and round the compound from Fort Hood. It was medieval and Machiavellian. It was also wrong. Here was supposedly an elite force of our young people, supposedly the best of our best. They were following unjust orders that they must have known, or they should have known, was immoral, unlawful orders. Yet they continued. I will remind them, as a former chief prosecutor for Harris County, that the defense of superior orders, that's the defense of, yes, I did it, but they ordered me to do it, is no defense under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the Nuremberg President, the Palestine Tribe, and all that is right in this world. I will also remind them that they will be held accountable. There is no statute of limitations on murder. But we don't have to look around at history and look back in history to see the value of a well-armed citizenry. Look around the world today. Americans have had to come to the rescue. I don't know if we had to, but we did. To rescue people in Somalia, people who did not have sufficient arms to defend themselves from those who did. In Bosnia, we are debating coming to the assistance of people without sufficient arms to defend themselves from the artillery shells raining down upon them. The Cuban people, we say, why don't the Cuban people throw off Castro? The first thing Castro did was pick up the gun. Look at the situation in Haiti. The same thing. We have to go to the rescue of people, they say, who do not have sufficient arms to defend themselves against their own government. When are we going to learn? We will hang on to our freedom of ours in this land of ours so long as we can hold on to our guns. And they do it one step at a time, don't they? Benjamin Franklin said it the best. He said, they that can give up essential liberty in order to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. But here now is the heart of the message I want to bring to you today. It's the thread of truth that runs through all of this. It's the true depth of the waters of the river of life. I told you earlier that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's true, but there is one exception. There is one power that is absolutely good and absolutely pure and absolutely holy. It is that power that those dark and evil forces hate, and they hate to be reminded of it. The four fallen angels hated and envied the power, a power who so loves the world that he created us in his own image. That's one of the reasons they want to enslave us. We are made in the image of God, and by enslaving us, they thereby enslave the image of God. And the power of which I speak sent Jesus Christ into this world to die for our sins so that we one day might be with him in paradise. Our forefathers who fought and died for the Bill of Rights, and those Texans who fought and died at the Alamo, and even the Branch Davidians who fought and died for freedom of religion in Waco, they knew what we seem sadly to have forgotten of late. Our right to defend ourselves from evil and from the evil and sinister forces that would enslave us is a right that comes not from any branch of government, but it is an inalienable right, coveted to each and every one of us individually and collectively by God Almighty. Amen. And before God, we are all equal, black and white, yellow and red, brown, Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Muslim, and yes, Branch Davidian. I don't know which one of those groups to which you may belong, but I'm sure they could call your group a cult. We can't all be a cult. They will call you a cult if you're religious, and they'll call you dangerous if you're armed. But people who do not understand the Constitution, or who would subvert it, or who have forgotten the lessons of history, often ask the question, why do you need to keep arms in this modern day and age? Why do you have to have the right to keep them their arms in this modern time? People say that the Second Amendment only protects hunting rights, or the Second Amendment only deals with the state's rights to have a state militia, the National Guard. When the Virginia House of Representatives was debating the new Constitution in 1787, James Madison, remember, James Madison was one of those patriots who walked out of the Constitutional Convention and refused to ratify the Constitution without a Bill of Rights. James Madison answered Patrick Henry. James Madison was one of the New World Order Federalists, He answered Patrick Henry's objection to the new government with the statement that the declaration of a Bill of Rights was of no consequence because the federal government would have limited power. We had an agreement for limited government. I say we had a covenant with the government. A covenant that the government would be limited. A covenant which has now been broken. And now that government will no longer abide by the covenant to be limited. It violated the compact with the people. Well, what do? We have a remedy. We have a guarantee clause in the contract. It's called the Second Amendment, and it ain't about duck hunting. Even old James Madison, though James Madison, one of the Federalists, he didn't see the need for a Bill of Rights. He said during those same Virginia debates, now listen to how they sold us the Bill of Goods, because I want them to eat their words. Here's what they said. James Madison, the floor of the House of Burgesses in Virginia, 1787, quote, "The powers granted by the proposed Constitution are the gift of the people and may be resumed by them when perverted to their oppression." And that's what we have today. Let's look at the list of freedoms in the Bill of Rights. Look at the list of freedoms and see if you can understand the framers' intent. Did our founding fathers want to guarantee our right to the fundamental human rights? And I like to tell those liberals, we're talking about human rights here, the right to keep and bear arms. The First Amendment, freedom from a government-established religion, freedom of speech and of the press, the right to peaceably assemble, the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances, and the Second Amendment, the right to go duck hunting. No! The Second Amendment is about the people versus the power of the federal government. It is a people's right, an individual right, a human right, that is the instrument of defense against the government of oppression. It is the guarantee clause that we the people invoke when the government breaks the covenant. Next, it is not about the state troopers' right to parade or march, being a well-regulated militia. It ain't about the government army. The Second Amendment is the difference between the Second Amendment. The founding fathers knew well. Article 1 of the Constitution deals with a standing army. It says the states won't keep a standing army in time of peace, but all the people are the militia, and the militia is all of us. The Second Amendment, the founding fathers knew the difference between standing army in Article 1 and militia in the Second Amendment. Don't be confused when people tell you there is no longer a militia because we now have the National Guard. Let me read to you the very first National Guard Act. The first National Guard Act in 1916, which was signed by Woodrow Wilson. Section 57, composition of the militia. Quote, "Said militia shall be divided into three classes, the National Guard, the naval militia, and the unorganized militia." The unorganized militia. Now, interestingly, The National Guard Act of 1916 doesn't say another word about the unorganized militia. It doesn't have to. The government does not have to provide for it because the militia exists in all of us. You also don't have to be part of a well-regulated militia, even though I urge you to join one, under the Second Amendment, because a common law, natural law, God-given law.
Amen.
You are in the militia because you are alive. The right to... The right to keep and bear arms has always existed. It existed before the Second Amendment, and it will exist even in its absence. God endows every creature he creates with the right to defend itself. Would he give mankind any less? I was digging around in some of the books, and I found a case in 1886, a very interesting case. Mr. Justice Woods of the United States Supreme Court, in Herman Presser versus People of the State of Illinois, had a ruling. But let me tell you a little bit about the case. They upheld an Illinois state statute that made it illegal for anyone to parade in public brandishing firearms. I personally think that's an unconstitutional provision, but they took it to the Supreme Court, and you know what they said? Well, they said that parading in public with firearms makes people nervous and peace and security. And we have that law in Texas, by the way, and in most states. But it seems that Herman Presser was marching through the streets of Chicago on horseback with his saber. Oh, yes, he was also in command of 400 armed militiamen. Well, they found that he violated the Illinois statute, and they fined him $10. The Supreme Court upheld it. They held that prohibiting parading in public doesn't have anything to do with the right to keep and bear arms. That's incredible to me, because as you know, the Founding Fathers could never conceive of any one right being exercised to the exclusion of any other rights. For instance, can you peaceably assemble but not speak? Can you peaceably assemble but not pass out printed flyers at the same time? Can you peaceably assemble but not petition the government for a redress of grievances? Well, the Supreme Court held that you could peaceably assemble but not keep and bear arms at the same time. But I found a little gem in this case from Mr. Justice Wood. He stated, quote, "It is undoubtedly true that all citizens capable of bearing arms constitute the reserve military force or reserve militia of the United States as well as of the state." That's the truth. George Mason, who we talked about earlier, even the truth comes out from him. He was saying we don't have to have a Bill of Rights, we don't need the Second Amendment, because we have certain natural rights. George Mason was also, though, one of the people that walked out of the Constitutional Convention, though, when they refused to have a Bill of Rights. And he asked the question, who are the militia? And he answered it, they consist now of the whole people. But as I said, there is higher authority, and you can find it in some other very good books, as recorded in St. Luke, chapter 22, verse 36. Jesus said to his apostles, "He that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a scrip. He that hath not, let him sell his coat and buy a sword." So the Second Amendment is about liberty. It is more than a guarantee clause. It is an out clause. It is a fail-safe clause. It is a king's X clause. It is a clause that preserves to the people the right to say to tyrannical governments, "Freeze and get your hands off my liberty." The Second Amendment is a sword that was forged for us over 200 years ago for the purpose of cutting the federal beast down to size should it ever get out of control. Thomas Jefferson said the beauty of the Second Amendment is that when you really need it, it is there. Following the 1787 Constitutional Convention, George Washington was sending out copies of the proposed Constitution to community leaders. He sent one to the former governor and a signer, former governor of Virginia, and a signer of the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Harrison. In October of 1787, Harrison replied to Washington, quote, "My objections lie chiefly against the unlimited powers of taxation the regulation of trade, and the jurisdictions that are to be established in every state to get altogether independent of their laws. Now listen at this. He says, the sword and such powers will, nay must, sooner or later, establish a tyranny. I will also tell the godless one world order federalists, they can forget about relying upon the authority of the majority. The majority does not rule on whether or not they can take their guns away from the rest of us. First, I do not believe those slanted opinion polls that purport to say that the majority of Americans are in favor of disarmament. The majority of Americans are gun owners. Secondly, even if they are, I don't care. I will stand alone if I have to. I would only ask the those who may remember me as a single drop of dew that found its way into that river of life, that they also recall the words of a beautiful traditional Irish ballad, O Daddy Boy, that says, but when ye come, and all the flowers are dying, as I am dead, as dead I well may be, ye'll come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. We are, all of us, single and sometimes solitary drops of rain falling on this land where the flower of freedom is wilting. But together we can be a flood for freedom. I recall words from more recent history, words of a leader of Great Britain, the same country that we fought for our freedoms in the 1700s. This man stood up in the Second World War when all seemed lost, when no one was coming to their defense, and the people were almost without hope. Winston Churchill stood up and he said, we will fight them on the beaches. We will fight them in the air and on the sea. We will never surrender. So take hope, my countrymen. Have faith, not that evil ultimately will prevail, but together we can cast this evil tyrant out. So I ask you, will you join with me to be free from tyranny? Do you oppose those who would disarm us? Then I say to you, first, we should get down on our knees and pray every day to God. Pray to God as though it were all up to God. Don't be embarrassed of your freedom of religion. As Daniel did in Babylon, pray in front of your open window. Then work. It also takes work. Work like it was up to you individually. Get together. Organize and help one another. Register to vote. Register your friends to vote. And then, hey, you've actually got to go to the polls and vote. Vote out the federalists. Vote out the gun grabbers. Support those organizations and leaders who fear God and not the godless one world order federalists. Buy semi-automatic defense weapons. Buy ammunition. Buy big weapons. It is your God-given right to defend yourself against criminals and from criminal government. Challenge them. Challenge them when they call your guns assault weapons. Inform them that your guns are very sensitive and don't like to be called names. My guns have hair triggers. Don't call them a name. But we have to recognize this for what it is. To call your guns assault weapons is something called rhetoric. It is a trick, a clever manipulation of words. It is a propaganda device that is known appropriately as name-calling, to attach a hate word to something or someone. And you know, the press gets away with it all the time. I'd like to take just a moment and tell you that maybe what we need is press control. Now, you understand I'm talking tongue-in-cheek here, but you know, let's examine it. There are no checks and balances on the press. The press is big, it's powerful, and it's unregulated. There are large assault networks that sometimes put a lot of incorrect, untrue, or distorted information out. They assault us with their opinions in the guise of news. We must put a stop to this. Our children are not safe from this misinformation. Besides the large assault networks, there's also those little Saturday night special newspapers that you see as you are peaceably trying to check out at the supermarket. You know the ones with the headlines that read, "Amazing 7-year-old gives birth to litter of alien puppies." Well, I propose a new federal government agency, the United States Department of Information. First, you have to have a special license to put out news reports. We'll have a mandatory 5-day waiting period to put out any reports. And you'll have to run anything by the United States Department of Information, and you'll have to prove it's true or that it's something that the poor, stupid, ignorant people really need to know in the first place. And then they'll be allowed to print it and publish it to those people with a license to receive the information. Well, now, does this sound far-fetched? A few years ago, the United Nations was actually advocating and writing up some rules to require international journalists to register and have a license from the United Nations for their own protection, you understand, in war zones and whatnot. Do you know what the press in this country wrote in scathing editorials? They said the only license they need is the First Amendment. Well, the only license I need is the Second Amendment. But still, when this was going on, you know, I visioned in my mind a bumper sticker on Dan Rather's car. A bumper sticker on Rather's car that read, "They'll have to pry my keyboard from my cold, dead fingers." But let's go back to what you should do. You should join a militia. If there is not one in your area, form a militia. Mr. Brown will be talking to you in a minute about the Bexar County Militia. There is a natural common law right to defend yourself and to join with others for the common defense. God gives you that right, not the godless one-world order federalist. Next, I would say that we should call for a congressional investigation of the Waco massacre and the Waco. And also of the Weaver massacre. The BATF agent shot Mrs. Weaver in the head as she was standing in her doorway holding, I guess, an assault baby. I guess you would hit somebody over the head with the baby and they shot her through the head. It is unbelievable that these things are happening in my country and Congress is not investigating. Congress is not investigating. I will say that Lord Benson, the Secretary of the Treasury, appointed some guys to investigate the Waco massacre. And you know who these three people were? They were people who had previously been involved with the same type of incident. Well, guess what? They found no improper conduct on the part of the BATF other than ordering the attack when the element of surprise had been lost. Well, the inmates are in charge of the asylum. We're allowing them to investigate themselves. I will remind you that at the Alamo, Colonel William Barrett Travis drew a line in the sand with his sword. He told them to choose, stand and fight, or run and hide, and all but one stayed, and that is rare indeed. We should also recall that the first war for independence was fought by only 1% of the American people. Will we have to fight them again? It is not up to us. It is up to them. I know that they're not going to be able to push freedom-loving Americans very much further. And I hope that they get the message. I took it to Washington myself to get it to them on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And the message I brought to them, and I want them to hear, is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I invoke the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to them, first, Pax Domini, sed semper vobiscum, may the peace of the Lord be always with you. But if there is to be no peace, then I will repeat the words of a prayer to Saint Michael, the Archangel. Holy Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander about the world for the ruin of souls. Remember the Alamo. Remember Waco. God bless you all, and God bless these free, independent, and United States of America.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's presentation was something that I've been wanting to do for quite some time. And I hope that all who have listened to tonight's broadcast have been able to take at least a part of it to their heart. You don't have to be a Christian to appreciate what Carl Haggard has delivered to you. At the same time, if you are a Christian, you don't have to eliminate anyone else from the coverage and the protection of what he has had to say, for he made it very clear. He made it very clear, and it is my policy. It is the policy of the Second Continental Army of the Republic. It is the constitutional interpretation of all freedom-loving people that even though he made it very clear that he is a Christian, that all citizens of this great nation, be they white, black, yellow, Jew, Oriental, Native American, or any other race, religion, or creed, are protected and are included in all of which he spoke. It has always been my message. It has always been the message of the Second Continental Army of the Republic. It has always been the message of all of those of us who truly understand and believe in the real concept of freedom. That there is a common bond among us that cannot be disputed, overcome, or challenged. And that is, no matter who you are, what color you are, where you came from, what your religion is, what kind of food you eat, if you wish to be free, you must align yourself with us. For we will fight in your behalf, we will protect you, we will ask you to do the same as we would do. In any situation, which is be prepared to cast down our life in defense of the freedom of all Americans, no matter your race, religion, ancestral origin, creed, color, or anything else. Out of all the patriot organizations and militias that exist across this country, we are the only ones
the only ones who make an absolute statement of where we stand regarding race, religion, creed, and freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. There are many people and organizations and religions and militias and patriot organizations who echo those words, who do not mean those words, have no conception of what they mean, and will not grant you freedom, but will enslave you if they are ever brought to power. If you are going to help us and help this world, for we are broadcasting to the entire world, not to this country. This broadcast is for the world. And no matter where you live, or what country you live within, or what you believe, or what your religion is, if you truly wish for freedom to triumph over the present momentum toward a world totalitarian, socialist, Nazi world order, enslaving all peoples and controlling every moment of their life, then you must align yourselves with us. For we are truly for freedom of all people, of all religions, of all races, of all creeds, of all nationalities, no matter where you are, or who you are, or what you are engaged in doing. We will support your efforts if you will support ours. If you are for the enslavement of the people of the world, we will resist you to the point of meeting you upon a battlefield, both spiritually and physically. We oppose the disarmament of any peoples, and if anyone, and I speak for myself, ever comes to my door to take my arms or my children, I will oppose them with the force of arms that my forefathers granted me as the last opposition to tyrannical government, criminal activity, or the ultimate oppression of the nation state. And I am perfectly ready and willing to die upon my doorstep in defense of those freedoms. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless you all.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again, with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I had to stand up next to you and defend her till today. But there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.